Well, I hope you guys have had a good week. When we close in prayer, we want to pray for another marriage and a husband. We're in part three of Uncommon Courage. We're going to be talking about today the courage to follow your calling. Your destiny is determined by God. He determined when and where you would be born. Where and when you were born will determine a lot of what would involve everything. You know, I'm obviously not going to invent the telephone. I was born a little late. But our destinies, I was thinking on the way up here about me and you and the whole North Point Church, and our destinies are entwined with each other. That you and I weren't made just simply for ourselves and for our own goals. That your destiny is connected to mine, and my destiny is connected to you. And this church itself has a large impact on you, and you impact this church. And so everybody has these destinies entwined that are here. Because I was wondering who I was going to be here. You know, just staying looking at the faces and stuff like that. Because I believe that God put you here at this place, at this point in time. And he could have put somebody else, but he didn't. He put you. Oh, I love that light. I can really see now. But it's all, you know, God does this stuff. He puts us together. And the other thing I know about destiny is that you can and will miss it if you choose to go with your plan instead of God's plan for your life and what God's called you to do and what he's designed you to do. The book of Hebrews says that we should look out for one another so that we don't miss out on the favor of God. And that's part of my job as your pastor is to do as much and to teach as much that to make sure that you don't miss out on the destiny that you were created for, so that you don't miss out on the favor that he wants to give you, your calling. That's why we constantly teach about spiritual development, relational development, career development, family, you know, everything. And, you know, but the biggest thing we do here, our number one goal for almost 15 years is God is preparing a family that's going to live with him forever in eternity. That's exactly why the universe exists, period. He's building a family. And part of our goal here, or maybe the bulk of our goal, is to make that message known to all people and all nations. And then when we do that, according to Scripture, Jesus will come back. When all people have decided, when they have chosen who they're going to follow, and if they're going to choose Jesus or not, then this world as we know it will end. History will end, and eternity will begin. Jesus will come back. But there's still lots of people that haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told the 9 o'clock service that I'm excited about Kesley going to Uganda in June. I wonder something, you know, I was wondering the other morning, I wonder if she'll tell the one. And what I mean by that, if it's a child that she goes to or an adult on the streets of Uganda and she shares the gospel of Jesus Christ and that person makes a decision. And I thought, I wonder if that's the one. When history will end and after their choice, eternity will begin for all of us. And you helped her go. You know, and I'm just so excited. Matthew tells us that for us to go, those who know the good news, you go and let everyone know. And that's our goal here at North Point Church, to be a part of that plan. And we've been working on it, like I said, for 15 years, sending out folks all over the world and helping others and building places of worship, building ladies' centers in Afghanistan, you know, and just sending out folks and taking care of folks, orphans and such. But, you know, our goal is to make a presence in every nation. Every nation. To pick up a country, you know, at least one every year. And that's why I'm so thankful to pick up Uganda. Uganda was a surprise this year. And so we want to make history here. We don't want to just watch it. We want to tell the world the good news. And so next month we're going to begin a new series that I'm really, really excited about. Someone was praying that they want to know what their purpose is, what their calling is. That was one of the prayer requests. We're going to begin this new series with thousands of other churches all over the world, actually, on what on earth am I here for? It's going to be 40 days. And I need folks to volunteer to do something. I need folks to volunteer to host a small group. And you don't have to teach. I don't know about the word facilitate, but I just want you to host a small group. All you're going to have to do is open your home and your heart, put in a CD and maybe a cup of coffee. And if I'm in your group, some no-bake chocolate oatmeal cookies. And so it's really no big deal. But, and if you can, you know, let me know by next Sunday. Next Sunday or today, you can just fill out one of these Connect cards here and make sure and give it to me or Derek and Sheila. And because, oh yeah, I was supposed to tell y'all, we're going to start this, what on earth am I here for, this campaign, February 17th. February 17th is when we're going to start. But now today, we're going to look at the courage to follow your calling. God created you and I for a specific calling, a specific vocation, a specific life mission. And we're all different. Wouldn't you say we're all different? We're all different. You know, and we have a different calling. We have a different mission. And but everybody, y'all get it? Everybody is called by God. Everybody. Really started, if you got your outlines, I want you to write these two things down. We're going to get going. God designed me for a unique calling. He designed me for a unique call. Guys, you were custom shaped for a life mission. I want to tell you something. If you don't remember anything else, there are no non-called people. There are no non-called people, young or old. Only I can fulfill my God-given calling. Only I can fulfill my God-given calling. Nobody else can do what God wants me to do. If you don't do what God calls you to do, it will simply go undone. Because you're the only one that can do it. You are unique. And that's why Paul says this in Ephesians 4:1. He said, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. By God. Well, how do I follow my calling? And I'm going to give you two examples today of a couple of people. And we're going to look at their lives, Caleb and Timothy. They lived over 1,000 years apart. But both were called by God to do different things. And it took a lot of courage for them to do what they were called to do. And but I look at their ages, they're young and old. You know, Caleb was 85 and Timothy was very young when he got started. And I was telling the 9 o'clock service, a lot of people ask me, a generation is like 40 years, or at least in the Bible, it talks about 40 years is another generation. And a lot of people that I see them in Adairsville, I don't know why this is, but most of the folks in Adairsville that have never been here think that our church is just a bunch of young, wild people. They really do. I'm not sure. I'm thinking, well, I'm 50, you know, 51 technically. And I don't know why y'all think that our pastor is just a bunch of young, wild people. But then I thought, that's all right. But I tell them, our church is really two generations. It's Caleb's and Timothy's. It's a two-generational church. There's a lot of people over 40, and there's a lot of people under 40. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up if you're over 40. You know, I know better than that. Because I'm 50 and I'm wise. And I know better than ask that. I would lose half my membership if I did that. But God uses both under 40 and over 40. And I want to tell you two stories this week, one of Caleb and a short one of Timothy. And I want to show you six things that you and I need to do to follow the calling that we were created for. You guys, most of you guys know the story of the Exodus. If you don't, I'll tell you real quick. I'll just give you the Jim version. Moses, the Israelites were held captive for like 400 years in Egypt. And God told Moses, go get them, you know, lead them out. And so Moses leads them out. He crosses the Sinai Desert. And then he comes to this country, to the Promised Land. Some of you guys are thinking Rock Martin. That's not it. It's Israel, and it's there, and so it's the nation of Israel, and that God's going to give them. And so Moses is here. He says, "All right, guys, I'm going to send out some spies. We need to see what kind of terrain we're facing. We need to see what kind of battles we're going to have to fight." So he sends in 12 spies to Israel. And they come back with a majority report and a minority report. Well, the majority report is 10 of the spies says, no way, no way. This place is filled with people that can kick our rear ends. This place has big cities, big walls. There's no way that we can beat them. Now, then there's a minority report, two people, that says, hey, we can do this. Those two guys' names were Caleb and Joshua. And they said, we can do this. Well, just as a little side note, God had these people wander for the next 40 years till that generation died, all but two people, Caleb and Joshua. There was only two people that were able to enter the Promised Land from that generation. They had faith and they believed. And incidentally, just to throw that in you, that's why we don't vote a lot here at North Point Church, because the majority ain't always right. Amen? All right. That's just something I'll throw in there. But let's look at three things that we learned from the life of Caleb and about their calling. The very first thing, real quick, I must believe I can do it even if I'm scared. Say scared with me. So I believe I can do it even if I'm scared. Because scared is worse than scared. It's 10 times worse than afraid. Scared's when you got to change your britches. But this is the first day leading like that. See, I couldn't say that in the 9 o'clock service. It was a little too early. But this is the first step of fulfilling your life mission. This is the faith factor. Numbers 13 says, this is the 10 spies. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. Here's fruit, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites lived there. And the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, they all lived there. These guys were having a panic attack. He said, these are tall people. They're giants. They're giant cities with giant problems. They are scared. I love the part where it says, they even saw descendants of Anak there. Do y'all know anything about the Anakians? Y'all don't know nothing about the Anakians. Have you ever seen Star Wars? George Lucas said that Darth Vader was an Anakian. Came from the Bible. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Nothing to do with the sermon. I just thought I'd let y'all know how smart I was. Actually, I read it just this week. So. but anyway, they were scared. And only one guy has the courage to speak up. One guy has the courage to speak up. His name's Caleb. He says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I want you to circle two phrases here. We should and we can. We should and we can. This is the essential attitude that you and I got to have to fulfill our life calling. I should and I can. Because when you figure out what God wants you to do, you know, then you should and you can. Look what Caleb says next. The Lord will lead us into that land and will give us that fertile land. Don't turn against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in that land. We'll chew them up. I love his attitude. They have no protection. He said, but the Lord is with us. But the Lord is with us. He said, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'm going to trust the Lord. And I believe I can do it, even if I'm scared. Even if I'm scared. Number two, this is big right here. I must be willing to reject negative advice. How do I follow my calling? I must be willing to reject negative advice. I can tell you story after story, and I know a lot of the leaders here can, in our own lives. I want to tell you, when I first had the idea of kind of beginning North Point Church, when I was real strongly convicted about it, not everyone encouraged me. Not everyone I met and told about encouraged me to do it. Some people made fun of me. Some people made fun of my family. Some people just said I'm stupid. I remembered something an old man told me one time. He said, Jim, anytime you get serious about God using your life, all hell will break loose. Anytime you get serious, all hell will break loose. There'll be friends, be family members. All of them will oppose you sometimes. Satan will throw everything at you to keep you from fulfilling your calling. I want to tell you, your calling's not going to be a cakewalk. You need to expect negative advice. And you know what else? You'll probably have to ignore popular opinion. Completely ignore it. It's why very few people fulfill their calling. Numbers 14:2-4 says, all the Israelites grumbled and said, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why has the Lord taken us to a new country only to die in battle? Let's go back to Egypt where we've lived all our lives. These guys saying, we prefer safety in slavery. We'd rather be back there and be chained up than to do what God's called us to do. We'd rather go back to our old way of life. Now my question for you is what slavery are you willing to go back to? Because you've hit some rough ground. What slavery are you willing to go back to? Because now you're facing a desert and things are tough. The old way of life. It draws you. Getting some negative advice. Numbers 14:10 says, the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Now I'm talking about real stoning. I ain't talking about I'm talking about rocks. But you know what? I loved what happened after this happened. The whole community in the next few verses said, but the glory of the Lord shone to the whole nation. The glory of the Lord. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is during all this time, when Joshua and Caleb, when they went against the majority, and when they wanted to fulfill their calling, when they went against the negative advice and the whole community wanted to stone them, all of a sudden it says glory of the Lord shone himself to the community. You see, God's presence saved them. And I'm telling you, God's presence will save you too. It'll save you too. It's going to happen in our life. God's still saving folks. His presence is still showing up. Number three, I must believe it's never too late. It's never, never too late. God let that entire generation die. 40 years, let them wander around, except for Caleb and Joshua. Now, 40 years later, here's Caleb. He's 85 years old. Look at this, what Caleb says. He said, I'm now 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. And I'm just as ready to fight now as I was then. Look at him. He said, so give me the mountain region, the toughest region of all. He said, the Lord promised me that day long ago. He said, you know the giants live there, and the cities are large, and they got big walls, but give them to me. I'm 85. I'm ready to go. He said, give me the mountain region. Give me the toughest one where the giants live. He said, I'm 85. I still got it in me. I mean, you and I, we ain't done. We ain't done. We still got it in us. We're even we're living longer these days. Some of you guys thinks it's time to hang it up, and I'm telling you to get it down and dust it off. The best is yet to come. It's yet to come. You are part of the Caleb generation. You think God's going to let you live another 30 years or so just to go play golf? You know a word that's not in the Bible? Retirement. It's not in the Bible. We can stop working, but we should never stop serving the Lord. What I mean by that is, in earlier years, you were paid to be good, and now you're good for nothing. The fact is, you have more wisdom. You have more experience. And God don't want to waste them. Your wisdom and experience don't need to be wasted. Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead the people out of Egypt. Abraham was 79 when God told him what to do. He was like 100 when he had a kid. I hope I ain't called to have a kid. Not even at 51. I'm rejecting some advice. Send me to Afghanistan. But some of you are part of this Caleb generation. I want to tell you, you have to believe it's never too late to begin your life calling. All right? It's never too late. The next three steps I want to talk to you about is this opposite generation. They're real quick. It's the Timothy generation and the folks under 40. Timothy was a young man who kind of hung out with Paul, and Paul was going to send him to a city named Ephesus and to start a church. But Timothy was scared. He was scared. And so Timothy had a problem with a lot of fear. But Paul kept reminding him, God didn't give us this spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and control and love. So number four. Oh, I can't hardly say four without thinking I just have four more days at the post office. Man, I'm telling you what. I was telling Bob I'm going into full-time goat man Friday. Anyway, number four, I must develop the gifts that God gave me. Young people, look at this verse. Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, faith, and purity. And do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. Practice these things and devote yourself to them in order that your progress may be seen by all. You know, when we came up here 12 years or so ago, there were five of us in a circle. And we prayed for this land. And we felt the Holy Spirit tell us to take this land. But then they told us no. When we talked to them. Well, one of the guys in that group was a little less than 40 years old. He's now in the Caleb generation, but then he was Timothy. He wouldn't let it go. No, David Hawkins called and stuck with that. And because David didn't look down, didn't let anybody look down on him because he was young, and because he was faithful, you now can worship here because he didn't let it go. So young people, don't let people look down on you because you're simply young. I urge you to dream and be creative. We need your creativity. We need your energy. We need your faithfulness. We need you. Don't you let them look down on you. 2 Timothy 1 says, "Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Those of you that are under 40, as a young adult, your number one responsibility before God is to develop your gift, or to develop your talent that God has given you. The second thing is number five. Refuse to be distracted by other things. Refuse to be distracted by other things. God has put a call on your life for His glory. God has put a call on your life for His purpose. Don't you dare get distracted by things that are of second importance. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you." The easiest thing for a young adult to do, and me too, I'm not young anymore, but is to get distracted, is to get sidetracked. You know, we get distracted by building our businesses, our families, our career, our savings, and we get distracted by recreation. So many things are out there we get distracted by. Be careful. Be careful. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. Guys, Paul's saying is, don't get involved in stuff that just wastes your time. Don't get involved in stuff that just distracts you. He said, I got a plan for your life. I got a purpose for your life. Stay focused. Number six, give God my very best. You know, if I want to follow my calling, I got to give God my very best. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Run your best in the race of faith and win eternal life for yourself. For it was to this life God has called you." You and I were called by God. We got to do our best. These were two very different men, 1,000 years apart. One old and one young. You are one of those two. But the principles are all the same. Well, what was the impact of these two men? What was the legacy of Timothy and Caleb? Let's look at Timothy's legacy. Paul wrote it in Philippians 2:20. I have no one else like Timothy. No one else. Has anybody ever said that about you? That there's no one else like you. You're so focused. That you were God's man or that you're God's woman. So committed to the call of God on your life that there's no one else like him. No one else like her. Look what the Bible says about Caleb. God said this, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and he follows me wholeheartedly, I will give him the land he went to and his generations following will inherit it. Caleb had a legacy of being different. 2 against 10. Can anybody say that you were different? That you went against popular opinion? That you followed God instead of the masses? Then I love this part. And this I want to talk to both of generations, of Caleb and of Timothy, under 40 and over 40. God says there was no one else like him. He said, I blessed his family for multiple generations. Men, women, wouldn't you like for your kids, or wouldn't you like for your grandkids or your great-grandkids to be blessed because of your commitment to Christ? I know one day. I may not know them because I waited so late to have kids. If the Lord takes me home, my great-grandkids will say, you know, I never met Paw Jim, but we sure have a lot of blessings because of him. I hope they can say that. Some of you might say, well, Jim, I wish I had that heritage. I would say to you, you be that heritage. You start the heritage. If you didn't receive it, you be that heritage. You start. Let them say that about you. They followed their calling. Back again, the church needs your experience, needs your wisdom. Young people, it needs your creativity. It needs your energy. So in closing today, I want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to go back to February 17th when we start What on Earth Am I Here For? It's going to be a church-wide campaign. I want to ask you if you can host a small group. It's going to be 6 weeks, 40 days. You don't even have to host a small group. You could write a blog. You could keep up with something on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, whatever. But just give me your name and your contact, whatever you can do. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at that. I got somebody that's going to, somebody's volunteered to help me get organized because basically I'm not. My idea of organism is taking those notes, putting them in my back pocket, and Angie washing them later. But somebody's going to help me get organized. Sheila Bagley is, and we're going to get this campaign going. I'm just ecstatic about you guys finding out what your calling is, of why you're here, and what your purpose. And I just believe when you do, we're going to make an incredible impact in this community, in this area. But I'm excited about that. Because what we're talking about here is not about us. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about kingdom building. I mean, we're talking about kingdom building. And, you know, I told the 9 o'clock service, if I don't know what they'll do to me when I'm gone, but if they happen to put up a headstone, I'd love for it to say Acts 13:36. David served God's purpose in his generation, and then he died. To me, that's the finest definition of a successful life that you would find anywhere. I hope that Angie and Sarah and Luke can say, Dad served God's purpose in his generation, then he died. And that's enough. That's enough. And you know what? I want people to say that about you. In 15 years, I've grown to love you. I've grown to love being your pastor. And by the way, just a lot of people are asking me, I'm retiring from the post office. I'm not going anywhere here. I hope I'll be here for another 30 years if you'll keep me. But we need you, all ages. And I want to tell you, you got what it takes. You got what it takes. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Guys, if God's calling you to do something, he'll give you the power to do it. And I'll close with that old saying, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need courage. Lord, I figure in a couple of months when we figure out what all we're called to do, it's going to scare some of us to death. So we need the same courage you gave Caleb to stand up against the majority. We need the same courage you gave Caleb to say, give me the highest mountain. Let me go get them giants. I ain't scared. Or I am, but the Lord is with me. Lord, we need Timothys with lots of energy, creativity, who are not distracted, who can reject bad advice. The popular opinion won't sway their faith. We do this for you. Lord, we love you, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.